is Patricia Smith. Mm-hmm. She is one of my new favorites, actually. Oh, yeah? I had a really fun time learning about her. She was born in 1955. She's an American poet, spoken word performer, playwright, author, writing teacher, and former journalist.
Wow.
I know, she's amazing. she's known as the first African-American woman to publish a weekly Metro column for the Boston Globe. Mm. So, snaps to you, lady. She's been called, quote, a testament to the power of words to change lives. Mm. What a compliment, you know?
Yeah.
She's the author of 7 books of poetry, including Incendiary Art in 2017, Should Have Been Jimmy Savannah in 2012, Blood Dazzler in 2008, and Tea House of the Almighty in 2005. Now, Blood Dazzler was the basis for a dance and theater piece, which had a week-long sold-out run at Harlem Stage. Which is really cool. Yeah. I'm assuming it was probably shortly after she wrote it, so sometime after 2008. And then a selection of her poetry was also produced as a one-woman play by Derek Walcott and performed at Boston University Playwrights Theater and the historic Trinidad Theater Workshop. She said in an interview, quote, I got introduced to poetry via this stage where there isn't a place to crawl behind the language. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I often feel that way, too. You know, it's I like to read poetry that can be sort of theatrical in nature, like slam poetry or, like, spoken word poetry. So I thought that was a really cute quote from her. Her works have been published in Poetry Magazine, The Paris Review, The New York Times, The Washington Post, and a bunch more places. A cute thing I learned was that she's also a mystery author, contributing to the crime fiction anthology Staten Island Noir. And I think her husband is also a mystery writer, novelist, and they're working on a co-authored piece now, which is really cute.
Very cool.
She also wrote the critically acclaimed history called Africans in America. Now, I had never heard of that, and that's just my own... you know, unawareness.
Well, and also probably the problem of it not getting as much recognition as other works.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But she is a 2014 Guggenheim Fellow, a 2-time Pushcart Prize winner, and a 4-time individual champion of the National Poetry Slam, which is the most successful poet in the competition's history.
Wow.
So cool. Wow. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I wanted a better definition of slam poetry because I had it in my head that I knew what it was exactly. Mm-hmm. But so I did a little digging and a little definition. It's a form of performance poetry that combines the elements of performance, writing, competition, and audience participation, which I didn't know about that last one. I knew that, like, there were lots of, you know, hoops and hollers from the audience when you watch it, but I didn't know that that was, like, you're writing it to get that out of something. Like, it's part of it.
Yeah.
So they're performed at events called poetry slams or simply slams. But the name slam came from how the audience has the power to praise or destroy a poem from the high energy performance style of the poets. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
This poem I'm going to do is called Prologue, and Then She Owns You. And she wrote it. I listened to a recording of her reading it. It's meant to be a spoken word, you know, so I'll try and mimic that if I can. But she said that this was written as a sort of memory of New Orleans before Katrina. Okay. Prologue, and then she owns you. This is not mourning. There is a nastiness slowing your shoes, something you shouldn't step in. It's shattered beads, stomped flowers, vomit, such stupid beauty. Beauty you can stick a manicured finger into and through. Beauty that doesn't rely on any sentence the sun chants. It's whiskey swelter, blown scarlet. Call this something else. Last night it had a name. A name wedged between an organ's teeth, A name, pumping, a virgin, unawares, a curse word. Wail it regardless. Weak light, bleakly triumphant, will unveil scabs, snippets of filth music, cars on collapsed veins. The whole of gray doubt slithers on solemn skin. Call her New Orleans. Each day she wavers, not knowing how long she can stomach the introduction of needles, the brash, boozed warbling of bums with neon crowns, necklaces raining. She tries on her voice, which sounds like cigarettes, pubic sweat, brown spittle lining a sax bell, the broken heel on a drag queen's scarlet slings, your kind of singing. Weirdly in love, you rumba her edges, drink fuming concoctions, lick your lukewarm breakfast directly from her crust. Go on, admit it. You are addicted to her brick hips, the thick swerve she elicits, the way she kisses you, her lies wide open. She prefers alleys, crevices, basement floors. Hell, let her woo you. This kind of romance dims the worth of soldiers, bends and breaks the back, sips mana from muscle, tells you, leave your life. Pack your little suitcase, flee what is rigid and duly prescribed. Let her touch that raw space between cock and calm, the place that scripts such jazz. Let her pen letters addressed to your asking. You stutter. New Orleans, but please, don't. Blue is the color stunning your tongue. At least the city pretends to remember to be listening. She grins with glint tooth, wiping your mind blind of the wife, the children, the numb ritual of job and garden plot. Gently, she leads you out into the darkness and makes you drink rain.
Wow.
Isn't that so powerful?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I had the imagery and everything is crazy.
I read it like 10 times to myself as loud as I could in the apartment last night because I was like, I can't get over how good it tastes.
Yeah,
you know?
I was going to say, yeah, the words are...
It's incredibly enjoyable to say, speak, you know? The way that she, the rhythm... Of the stanzas, it's all broken down very well, and the subtle rhyming of them, you know, like she I know it doesn't rhyme. She says the whole of gray doubt slithers on solemn skin. Call her New Orleans, and it's just that like that subtlety of it.
Yeah,
it doesn't rhyme, but it doesn't not rhyme.
It sounds nice.
It's the way that she stretches words in the way that she reads it to make it dance almost. I so admire that, and it was really fun to hear her perform it and then also try to emulate that. I think it's incredibly descriptive, and it's just gorgeous to me. I didn't even write anything, like any notes to talk about it because I was like, I'm just so into it. Like I can't get over it.
So had she spent, where is she from again? Had she spent time in New Orleans, or she was just inspired to talk about it?
I believe she spent time in New Orleans, but she was writing for the Boston Globe. She's incredible. I just love how descriptive and vivid the pictures are. I can see that, like, businessman on vacation, you know, like stumbling through the streets being like, oh, what's all of this new land? Oh, there's necklaces in the trees. It's like, I've never been to New Orleans, but in my head it's like this little town that's stuck in time that is in constant party mode, you know, and in the best way, not in like a college town way. There's always some sort of parade or festival or celebration going on. And sometimes that means that it's tired festivals and like tired, ugly sort of partying, you know, like on Bourbon Street and stuff where it's like, it's constant. Somebody's got to keep doing it. Well, that probably means that there are washed-up drunks on the corner, you know?
Yeah.
But she paints it in such a beautiful way. And then that last stanza, gently she leads you out into the darkness and makes you drink rain. That to me is like the first onset of the hurricane, you know, like she's like, okay, mm-hmm. that like she's painted you this picture of the, you know, the old New Orleans. And then that with that last stanza, it's like, okay, I've seduced you into loving me. Now you have to stay through this hurricane, this horrible mm-hmm. thing that happened.
Did she have written this after the hurricane, about before the hurricane?
I believe so. Yes. Mm-hmm.
When I heard that line, it made me think about, because she just spent the whole poem talking about all these things with just about sort of what you were saying, like the partying and all that stuff, but also sort of like the dirty, grimy parts of it as well, mm. and sort of the rain that then comes to sort of refresh and renew, and then it's like do it all over again. It just makes me think a little bit of that too.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Like the darkness at the end of it, and it's like, all right, nighttime just before the sunset or the sunrise or whatever, right. and starts to rain. And
yeah, I guess I can also see that it's like mm-hmm. she makes you drink rain so that you can be refreshed and ready for the next day, because you're gonna mm-hmm. do it all over again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I like that too. Yeah, mm-hmm. I just love how it feels to say
slam poetry and spoken word poetry and everything. It's I mean, lots of poems are really beautiful and fun to say, but it's like just the way that they use the words and construct them and everything, and you
right.
know that it's just, it feels good to speak, like
right.
you said.
It's so eloquent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
Oh. Hello.
There's a disaster happening below us on the streets of New York, I think.
Apparently. I mean, that's every day.
Everyone's okay.
Yeah.
so that
Fantastic.
Is Patricia Smith.